We're learning about loons on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Loons and mallard ducks are natural rivals, so it took loon experts by surprise earlier this year when a chick was spotted hitching a ride on the back of a loon on a lake in Wisconsin's North Woods, and it appears a pair of loons became the adopted family of a mallard duck. Do you live near loons and their habitat? What have you observed? How would you describe their behavior? And what questions do you have about loons in Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. Walter Piper directs the Loon Project, which focuses on loons in northern Wisconsin. He's a biology professor at Chapman University in Orange, California. Walter, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Nice to be with you.
So how did it come to your attention that this pair of loons in Wisconsin took to this mallard chick?
Well, we cover 120 study lakes each year. We have marked pairs on those study lakes in the northern part of the state, as you said, between Rhinelander and Minocqua. And we routinely visit these lakes and check on the reproductive status of the birds, including whether they're nesting, whether they have chicks themselves, and so forth. And so we visited this particular small lake where this occurred, and noted in mid-May that the pair had two loon eggs and were beginning their incubation. And then about a month later, we returned, and given that the loon incubation period for loon eggs is 28 days, we anticipated that we would find one or two loon chicks there if the pair had been lucky enough to hatch them. And it so happened that we had a novice, someone who was on the study for the first year and had never seen loon chicks. And it was also a rainy day. And so this particular member of our team reported that there was some fluffy thing that must be a loon chick that was with the two loons on the lake on that particular day.
And this fluffy thing wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Well, it wasn't. She did note that it had yellowish markings on it, which wasn't. It's not consistent with what a loon chick looks like. Loons are just all chocolate brown in color, and also that it was picking at vegetation, which loon chicks never do. And so 10 days later, when we had a veteran member of our team visit the lake, she said, "Oh my God, there's a mallard duckling being raised by these two and defended by these two loons."
Oh, wow. And so many photographs later, I understand, yeah, we've seen lots of pictures of this. How did this happen?
Well, as I said, the pair was incubating their own eggs and thinking no evil in mid-May, and we know from our detective work, from having visited the nest that they had initiated in mid-May, that at least one of those eggs hatched. You can tell from the breakage pattern of the eggs, of the eggshell fragments, that the egg, at least one of the eggs had hatched, and therefore they certainly had a loon chick at one point, but that loon chick must have been lost within the first day or two, and at the same time they obviously crossed paths with a wayward mallard duckling that had lost its siblings and mother. Perhaps it hatched late or got isolated in some way, perhaps because of an eagle attack or some other stressful event that occurred. But in any event, the loons were looking to raise something just about the time when this duckling was looking for parents. And so I guess a beautiful thing happened, and they began to care for this duckling like it was their own chick.
But I understand that loons and ducks are rivals of sorts. They don't usually like each other in their territory.
That's right. I mean, rival maybe is a kind word. Loons are stealthy creatures. Of course, they dive, and whereas mallards stay on the surface. And so, actually, what loons often do when they see mallards and especially ducklings is that they sneak up underneath them and attack them. Sometimes kill them, peck them to death. and just leave them. And so, yeah, they are not friends under most natural circumstances. So this is a makes it all the more peculiar.
We're talking with Walter Piper, director of the Loon Project, studying loons in northern Wisconsin. He's a biology professor at Chapman University. You can join in. Do you live near loons and their habitats? What have you observed? How would you describe their behavior? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Walter, you've been researching loons for decades now. What's it been like for you to see these two loons adopt this mallard duckling and see them flourish together?
Well, it's quite a spectacle. I mean, it's you when you get used to seeing loons with chicks. I mean, loon chicks are cute too, and fluffy, and do all sorts of little funny loon-like things, or try to when they're small. And but you certainly form a certain image of what a young thing should look like that was being raised by adult loons. And so to see this duckling following and attentive to its parents and to its parents, to have its parents defend it vigorously, like these parents have been, it's quite an oddity. Kind of sweet and also puzzling, really puzzling from a behavioral standpoint.
So in terms of behavior, what is a typical day like for loons, and how does the mallard duck fit into this?
Well, loons feed their young, their chicks. In fact, all of the food that a young loon chick consumes is brought to that chick by its parents, and so that chick is entirely dependent upon food from its parents. And so loons, when they have young chicks, dive constantly, also are constantly on the lookout for anything that might hurt their chicks, especially bald eagles, which consume a lot of chicks and attack chicks. So loons are attentive parents. They're constantly feeding tiny, tiny fish to their chicks. And strangely, or not strangely, depending on how you look at it, these loons, which adopted this duckling, tried to do the same thing with this duckling, and that is, they expect to feed their young. And ducklings, mallard ducks, on the other hand, feed themselves entirely. They of course follow their mothers in large queues, and of 10, 12 ducklings sometimes. But they always feed themselves along shoreline areas, and they dabble. They turn themselves upside down and reach for food for invertebrates and insect larvae and so forth in and around shorelines and vegetation. And so they expect not to be fed. However, this duckling was only too happy, it turned out, to accept fish from its from its parents. And in fact,
hard to resist.
I mean, it's a free meal, so what are you going to do? But in fact, it's comical. It's been comical to watch the parents would surface with a fish, and the duckling, which might have been 20 yards away at the time, would rush across the water to snatch the fish out of its parents' bill. So it's delighted to be having these free and unexpected meals.
Well, in the grand scheme of evolution, loons are older than humans. How are loons doing in Wisconsin? Are they thriving?
You know, they have been. The last time we did a very rigorous analysis of the loon population in Wisconsin was about 2008, when we actually ran a population model. And at that point, it looked like loons were doing quite well. The population appeared stable, but there are some storm clouds on the horizon. There is been a recent study by the Audubon Society, by a scientist working with the Audubon Society, that suggested, based on climate change, that the loon population would be greatly reduced and pushed northward in the state by 2050, and that loons would disappear entirely from Wisconsin by 2080. Now, that's a model, And many things happen when temperatures warm up and when rainfall patterns change. And there's so many biological and chemical changes to lakes and to loons parasites and loons predators and so forth that it's hard to be absolutely sure what's going on. But that study concerned me naturally, and so I ran a few analyses to see how loons were doing, and there are a few warning signs. The brood size, loons either raise one or two chicks, and 30 years ago, about half of all broods in northern Wisconsin were two-chick broods rather than singleton, one-chick broods. And now it's about 80% of all broods are one-chick rather than two-chick broods. So there's been a significant statistical decline in brood size. Also, I very recently looked at the mass of loon chicks, and the masses have been declining. That is, they've been getting lighter at the same...
Oh, you mean their birth weight?
Maybe their birth weight, too. We don't have that.
Okay.
We capture them when they're about 4 or 5 weeks old, and so we can say, okay, on August 3rd in 1997, what was the average weight? And on August 3rd in 2019, what was the average weight of these chicks? And there's been a steady, significant decline, substantial decline in the mass and therefore the body condition of loon chicks. And so that's another factor that really concerns us. It's puzzling. We don't understand what might be causing it. But in other words, there really are storm clouds on the horizon. And of course, there's the creeping human encroachment of various kinds, human recreation and shoreline development and so forth, and angling fatalities that have occurred that concern us. So there really is some substantial reason for concern.
Walter Piper is heading up the Loon Project. He's a biology professor. You can join in 800-642-1234. We'll talk more about loons in just a moment on the Ideas Network. We're talking about loons and an unlikely relationship with the mallard duckling. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Loons are super sleek with their black velvety head, their red eye, black and white checkered back, a white collar on the back of their neck, and a pointed bill. So seeing a mallard chick on the back of a loon earlier this summer caught researchers by surprise. And photographer Linda Grenzer is with the Loon Project. She's been documenting a loon pair and their adopted mallard duckling since June.
This is their child, yes, their chick. And they're doing everything they can to protect it.
Have you spotted a loon where you are? What was it like seeing one in their natural habitat? Do you have a fascination with loons? What do you want to know about them? Join in at 800-642-1234. Loon Project Director Walter Piper stays with us. He studies the territoriality of common loons. Let's go to the phones now. Jane joining us from Suamico. Hi, Jane.
Good morning. I'm thrilled to call in and talk about a pair of loons on Crystal Lake. Your speaker is probably familiar with Crystal Lake in northern Wisconsin. And the community has come to protect a pair of loons that mate pretty regularly on the lake, and they have a raft. They put milk jugs around it to protect it as the pair is raising their chicks. And this summer, I had the lifetime thrill of being down on the deck near the water with family members, and the parent loons were with their two chicks that were muddy brown and kind of ugly looking, but they were making their way around the lake, and the parents were feeding the babies just like he was describing, and they came next to us within 100 feet, and we sang for them. Oh. And they hung around for 4 or 5 songs, and it was amazing.
What did you sing?
Oh, old family favorites. Just kind of soft harmonies. My 89-year-old mother and I sang with each other, and they hung around for 4 or 5 songs. It was just fantastic.
Walter, this community protects their loons. What do you think of that?
I think that's great. By the way, Crystal is one of my study lakes, and in fact, the people who maintain that raft are have named the two loons on Lake Walter and Catherine, and so we banded them earlier this year. Yeah, it's wonderful to see people step up and support loons. I mean, people love them, and most folks are really, really respectful and love the sounds that they make and the peculiar behaviors, the diving, and that is a nice tame pair. That's a bird that on Crystal that we banded as a chick in 2006. So he's a 13-year-old male, and that's a female that we banded on Deer Lake, and she moved over several years ago from Deer Lake. And I'm speaking of Catherine, that Crystal Lake female. So I had a nice interaction with that same. The same pair, and they are really nice and tame.
Jane, you need to say hi to Walter and Catherine the next time you come across them.
I sure will. My mom will love to know they're named. Thank you so much.
Well, let's talk about the iconic call that loons make. Here's what it sounds like. What are loons doing when they make this sound?
You know, it's interesting you should ask that. The folks, I guess, often look for a single simple explanation for any behavior, like a call that they hear. And so the book on that, what you'll hear if you go to websites or talk to folks about that, is that that's a call that loons use to say hello to another loon nearby, and it is used as a, we'd call that a contact call. Behavioral ecologists would call that a contact call, and you do hear that call when loons get separated. But that call, which is called the whale call, by the way, is also one that loons use to signify danger. That is, when an eagle flies overhead, you also hear the whale call. And it's also used between parents and chicks, to not just adults, but parents and chicks. It's also used as a mate advertisement call. So you'll hear a loon that is alone on a lake. Perhaps it's been driven off of its own lake, which is a constant problem for loons. Rather than mating for life, they constantly are having to fight tooth and nail to hold on to their territory. So if they're driven onto a lake off of their own territory, onto a lake where they're all alone, they'll use that whale call to try to advertise that they're alone and that they're happy to be joined by a mate.
Well, what do we know about the relationship between eagles and loons? Because you've been looking at whether loons can talk to eagles. What's going on there?
Well, they do talk to eagles, but it makes it, I don't want to make it sound friendlier than it is. Loons and eagles are really arch enemies. If loons and mallards are rivals, and don't like each other under most circumstances, loons and eagles really hate each other, because eagles, of course, are opportunistic feeders, and they'll gobble up anything that's not keeping an eye out for it. But so loons and eagles, but yes, loons, that whale call that loons give. I did a recent blog post on this, and loons do appear to be, it's pretty clear that loons are signaling to eagles. They're in effect talking to eagles, but they're talking to eagles with that call in order to announce to the eagle that they have spotted it and that there's no point in that eagle trying to attack the loon because the loon has already seen it. So you could see it, oh, this is a communication, but it's not a friendly communication. It's almost a warning that an attack would be fruitless and a waste of energy. Back off. It's in everybody's best interest. I see you. It's in everyone's best interest just to go about your way and leave us alone.
Well, Gary from Iron River emailed to ask, how will it work when the birds need to migrate south? What are the flying skills and the habits of loons?
Well, loons normally care for their chicks for a longer period of time than do mallards. And so mallard ducklings often usually fledge at about 50 to 60 days. This mallard duckling is, as I noted before, only too happy to accept the extra parental care it's getting from loons. And at last report, it's on day 70, still hanging around with mom and dad, and foster mom and dad, and it's now flying, circling the lake. But instead of circling the lake and leaving and going off to find others of its own species, it circles the lake and lands next to foster mom and dad. But when it, you know, loons and mallards are both migratory, so we expect that this duckling, despite its weird upbringing and the fact that it's imprinted somewhat on loons, will ultimately find other mallards. Of course, there's so many mallards around, a very common species, that other mallards will find it. It will find other mallards and probably imprint on those mallard, its own species, ultimately, and migrate south in a normal fashion. We don't know. This is the first time we've ever had an opportunity to look at this, but we suspect that will happen.
Well, in the last few seconds that we have with you, as Jane had called in and talked about how a community is helping protect their loons, what can people do when they live around their own lakes and they see loons? How can we make their habitat better?
Well, I would say just be respectful of loons in terms of listening to what the loons are telling you. You play the whale call, and the whale call is often given to humans as a sort of a mild indication that the loons are unsettled in your presence. The tremolo call, the laughter-like call, which is one that you often hear in horror movie soundtracks or just nocturnal soundtracks, that tremolo call is an indication of intense alarm. And so when people hear the whale, when they hear the tremolo and they're approaching loons, listen to the birds and realize that you got to give them some space and help them reproduce as well as they can under the circumstances.
Walter, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Nice to be here.
Walter Piper is the director of the Loon Project, studying loons in northern Wisconsin. He's a biology professor at Chapman University in Orange, California. You can see a slideshow, by the way, of the loons with the mallard duck. It's all at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, we take a trip back to the era of leg warmers and VHS tapes to learn more about the 80s film teen genre. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.